God. God is good. Amen. I knew God was right on time when they sang Amazing Grace. Amen. That's God. First and foremost, I want to give honor to God tonight for the call. He chose me long before I even knew who he was. And I am so very thankful for that. I give honor tonight to our pastor and his wife. I thank God for them, for Pastor Jared and Carrie and David and Lee. I don't know where we would be without them. Amen. Their leadership and their guidance. I thank God for that. It is an honor to stand behind this sacred pulpit, one to be cherished. And before we get started tonight, we're going to pray. If you have a Bible, I'm sure you do. You can turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to get started tonight. I love Word Wednesday. Oh, I love the fact that it is called Word Wednesday. And that means we're going to take some time, and we're going to get in this Word, and we're going to teach, and we're going to do what the Holy Ghost tells us to do. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I was at the in Orlando a few weeks ago, and me and Cole and Chase and Cohen, and we were just having time together, and I thank God for that. But I woke up one morning, and God spoke to me directly. I mean, it shook me. He said, "Don't kill the baby." And I said, "Okay, God, I ain't going to kill no baby." And I got up, and I went about my business. And God spoke to me again. He said, "Don't kill the baby." And I said, "Yes, sir." I sent them boys to play basketball. And I got in that Word and I began to pray and I began to seek the face of God. And this message tonight unfolded from that. I didn't know when or where, but I knew it was God. And I believe it's for tonight. Amen. I was so afraid Brother Russell was going to preach it Sunday morning. We have this standing joke around here about each other using each other's notes. And I just knew the anointing was so strong he was going to preach it. But he didn't. He shelled the corn anyway on something else much needed. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, how I love you. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight for who you are. Our rock and our refuge in our life. Lord, you said it, God. There is a genuine, there is a true, anointed Holy Ghost in fire, but there is a counterfeit. And Lord, there is a demonic influence, God, that's ever present in this world. But God, you're greater than any influence of the enemy. Lord, I plead the blood over this service right now, God. You preordained every person that needed to be here. Open up our hearts to receive the word tonight, our eyes to see and our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Hide me behind the cross, God. Let not one person think anything of Stacy, because anything of me is bad, but anything of you is pure goodness and grace. Lord, let your name be magnified tonight in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's stand for the reading of the word, 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read 5 through 10, and then we're going to skip down to verse 28. Starting in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give unto thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, and it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people. That cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked the king, or asked this thing. Verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I get excited about this. Can you imagine God showing up in your life and saying, "Ask what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. Ask anything you want, and I'm going to give it to you." Imagine that for just a moment, the things that you would be tempted to ask. But Solomon did not ask for material things. He asked for discernment. He said, I got to know what is good and what is bad. If there was ever a time in history that we need to know the difference between what is good and what is bad, to have the discernment of the Holy Ghost, it is now. Amen. Why did Solomon ask that? That's what I began to question God that day. And he began to show me. See, if you ask something of God, there's a reason behind it, right? He didn't want riches. He didn't want houses. He didn't want any of those things. He said, I got to have some discernment, God. I got to have some wisdom. And when you look back at the beginning of this, we're not going to read all of it for time's sake, but when you look back at the beginning of this great book of God, it tells you that David was on his deathbed. He was dying and the whole world knew it. Adonijah, okay, was his next, he was his oldest living son, okay? He was Adonijah, okay? However you pronounce that word. He decided that he wanted to be king. He was next in line in the flesh, and he decided he wanted to be king. So you know what he did? He went and threw himself a party, and he gathered up some people with him. He gathered up a couple of them, Joab and Abiathar. And he said, you know what? We're going to have us a party, and I'm going to declare myself king because, after all, I am the next in line for the king. My oldest brother got killed. My next brother must have died at a young age because he ain't ever mentioned after his birth. The next son got killed. They all died. I'm next in line. It is rightfully mine. How many of you realize that God don't deal in the flesh? He doesn't deal in the natural order of things. Just because Adonijah was of the natural order of the flesh doesn't mean that God necessarily chose him. In fact, it had already been said that Solomon would be the next king. Hallelujah, glory. God knows what he's doing. We understand here that when he called Abiathar and Joab, you may say, well, Stacy, these are a lot of names. What do these mean? Well, this is why it's Word Wednesday, I get to tell you. Joab was a general in the army, okay? He was a military man. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Abiathar was the priest. He was the priest that was left over when King Saul killed all the priests from Nob. Abiathar ran, and he ran to take refuge with David, amen? But yet this time, he got invited to the wrong party, and he decided to go. Let me tell you, it ain't bad all the time when you ain't invited to the party. There are some parties you don't want to be exposed to. Amen. Not everybody follows after the flesh. See, there were a few that did not get invited to the party. Oh, that would be Zadok. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. That would be Benaniah. Oh, I love him. Brother John used to call him God's sheepdog. Man, that man took care of some business, let me tell you. He was a warrior indeed. Nathan, the prophet. We're going to talk about him too. Oh, Shimei. He didn't go either. That double-minded man that he was, at this point, he was on the side of King David, honey. He didn't even go to the party either. The mighty men of David, certainly they didn't go. None of those went with Adonijah, but some did. Adonijah's throwing this big party. He's got this priest with him. He's got this general of the military with him. Boy, he thinks he's doing something good. And then old Nathan shows up. Oh, I love this. Nathan shows up to Bathsheba. Now, the last time Nathan shows up to David and Bathsheba, you know what he was doing? He was declaring judgment. He was telling David and Bathsheba that they had sinned. They had committed adultery. They had wound up committing murder. And the baby had to die. The seed born of the flesh had to die. But this seed, Solomon, was born of the Spirit. What changed? See, Nathan came this time not to bring condemnation, not to bring judgment. He came to bring redemption. He came to Bathsheba and he said, let me tell you this secret plot that's going on and what we're going to do about it. Repentance took place. That ought to make y'all want to shout. Repentance took place. David and Bathsheba repented after they committed adultery, after he committed murder, after he lied to get his way, when the presence of God came to him and he repented, new life was created. Do not tell me that your past prevents you from being used of God in the future. Do not tell me that you are forever bound by the judgment of God, because that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because I'm here to tell you, Bathsheba and David were the ultimate sinners of all sinners in the Old Testament. But God brought forth the lineage of Christ Jesus through their marriage. A marriage that started out in sin. A marriage that should have never took place. But a marriage that found repentance. There's hope after adultery. There's hope after lies. There's hope after anger, murder. There's hope after anything. That hope is Christ Jesus through true repentance. The prophet that once brought judgment to the seed of the flesh now brought redemption to the seed of the repented. Oh, honey, that's what God can do. Don't you dare tell me you've sinned too much in your life that God can't use you. Oh, that is a lie. Let me tell you, that is a lie. We're all called to be living epistles read by all men. That means you got to be able to be satisfied knowing that others need to know your junk. How do you know that God could use somebody like David and Bathsheba? He had to spill it. He had to talk about what David did in the Word of God. Had he not shown us what they did, we would have never had the hope that repentance brings. This had to take place. And guess who was watching? Solomon. Don't you know that little boy? Some people say he was about 12 now, up to about 20. Cohen Ridge is 14 years old. He can tell you the truth about what goes on behind closed doors in mine and Chris's house. He hears it all. He sees it all. You better believe Solomon heard the stories. Your big brother died. God killed him because your mom and daddy was in sin. He knew exactly who he come from. He was living proof of the grace of God through true repentance, how God restores all things. He needed discernment. He needed wisdom, because he knew above all things it was grace that got him there, and it was grace that was going to keep him there. Hallelujah, glory. He knew that there was an Abiathar on every horizon. He knew that there was all of these fake people out there, but he also knew that there was the real. He saw it in his mama and daddy. Never again did he have to repent after he dealt with what he dealt with, did he? Why? He was a man after God's own heart. He messed up, but oh, that man knew how to repent. And once he did repent, he might have messed up in a lot of ways, but he didn't do the same thing twice. Let that sink in a minute. He was a man after God's own heart. When Nathan came to Bathsheba, she was obedient to him. She didn't question. She did exactly what the man of God said. Every service when we come here, the man of God, the woman of God, whoever is honored to be up here, honey, they've sought God. And they've sought God on your behalf. It is hard when you minister a word from the Lord, because he runs it through you first before you can give it to anybody else. It is to be received and dealt with. That's what she did. David then turns around and you know what he says? He says to Zadok and Benaniah, I love them too. He tells them, he said, you go get my mule and you put Solomon on it. That was his identity. That was the king's mule. That meant something. David rode a mule. He rode a mule. He didn't ride a horse. Those of you seasoned in the Word of God will know what I'm talking about. David's mule. Everybody knew it. And the moment he put Solomon on it, there was a shift taking place in the kingdom. See, he might have been on the deathbed, but he was still king. he was still king. And what he decreed and declared would come forth. No matter how many Adonijahs and how many Joabs and Abiathars are plotting in the background, the one true king is still in control. And he said, you put my little boy on that mule and you drive him, you ride him, you lead him to Gihon. That means bursting forth. He said, you go down to that Kidron Valley and you take him where I tell you to take him. That's the place of Gethsemane. You take him to the place of the crushing. You take him to the place where the anointing is going to be revealed. And not only that, you take some oil and you take a trumpet. That's important, let me tell you. He said, you get the oil from where the Ark of the Covenant is, from the Holy of Holies, from the tabernacle of God. And you better believe David understood the important process of being anointed with the oil. Because at one time, little David was out in a shepherd field, and not one of his brothers were allowed to be king because the oil would not flow over them. They had to stand and wait on him to show up. He said, let me tell you what, you go get that oil, the anointing oil, and you take it and you anoint my son. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that oil ain't gonna flow unless he's God's chosen. He didn't tell all his kids to come and hang out. He knew the one. You know why? God had already showed him. He'd already showed him. So he gets there, and you better believe it took place. Now, we're going to talk about something here. I don't know why I write notes. It don't matter. Abiathar, do you think he took any oil with him? No. You know why? Abiathar was a descendant of Eli, who was a descendant of Moses, who was what? The law. He had to die. Eli, the flesh, right? The one that God told none of his children would make it. The one who let the light go out in the temple. The one who was of the law, descendant of Moses. He didn't have no oil. The law will never produce the anointing. The law will never be able to bring forth all the chosen of God. That oil will never flow for one under the law of Moses. Oh, but Abiathar, he came from Aaron. You know who Aaron was? He was the first high priest. You know who our high priest is today? His name is Jesus. That is grace. Abiathar was a symbol of grace. And when you're under grace, that anointing's gonna flow every single time. Honey, you got more oil than you know what to do with. You know why? Because it's an everlasting overflowing well of living water that lives within you. And he knew without a shadow of a doubt, honey, when I got Zadok near me, when I got the one that came from Aaron, his name was Zadok. When I got Zadok, who was the priest, who came from the lineage of Aaron, that oil's going to flow. That oil ain't going to flow for Abiathar. He came from Moses. He was the law. But that oil's going to flow every single time through Zadok because he came from grace. He came from Aaron. There's always a counterfeit. You better believe this counterfeit's right in here. I ain't scared. Amen. Blood is enough. Amen. Zadok, he had the oil. Not only did he have the oil, but he had the trumpet. I know. Ain't that good stuff? That trumpet meant something. That trumpet meant something. In their culture, if one trumpet blew, it meant the leadership was coming together. If two trumpets blew, it meant the whole group came together. It was a time of celebration. It was a time of a big announcement to take place. The Word of God says that they blew the trumpet. They is a plural word. It means more than one. So when they blew the trumpet, all the people came together and they began to rejoice. The Word of God says they did pipes and all these things. They were rejoicing so much that the earth shook. Now that's a party. The Word says when this took place that King David on his deathbed bowed down and began to worship God on his deathbed. He knew knew it had been fulfilled. He knew the promise of God had taken place when he heard that trumpet sound. Honey, we fixing to hear a trumpet sound. And when we hear that trumpet sound, you better believe it's going to be our sign that every promise of God has been fulfilled. But let me tell you, the oil has got to already have flown and dripped on you before you will be able to be ready for that trumpet sounding. Because guess what? The one that didn't have the oil, when that trumpet began to sound, the Word of God says that he, Adonijah, looked at Joab and he looked at Abiathar and he's like, wow, what's going on? Some big announcement's got to be happening. One of the boys come running up to him. They were like, oh, I can just imagine. They were hoping David was dead. Right? I'm sure that's what they were hoping. Here they were. They got the cart before the horse, right? They're already having a secret party, screaming, you know, long live King Adonijah, right? They're already acting like David's dead. Ain't that just like the flesh? Ain't that just like the flesh? Assumption is the playground of the flesh. The flesh always just assumes it's going to go their way. But God. So here they go, and they're sitting here, and they're like, hey, surely you got good news. I hear the horns blowing. What's going on? And he looks at him. He says, oh, I got great news. King David, oh, they've crowned Solomon king. Oh, he's rode on the mule. He's been anointed with oil. The horns have said he's sitting on the throne. Raggy. You know what Adonijah did? He had some second thoughts about that time in the Word of God. You know what it says? I love it. The guests of his party were afraid and they left. Imagine. They left. They left. And the Word of God says that Adonijah ran. He grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. I ain't got time to go in all that. It's good stuff. But when he did, Solomon, he looked at him and he said, I tell you what, as long as you do good, I'll leave you alone. But the minute you don't, you're dead. That's where Benaiah comes in. I love that man. Next thing we see, David dies. All these things transpire. All these things happen. I promise, we lay in a foundation. Everything that happened up to this place, then God comes to him in a dream and says, what can I do for you, son? Now, if you had to go through all of that and you ain't even 20 years old, do you understand now why he didn't want no money? He certainly didn't need no women right then. He's like, I'm walking through a pit of vipers. After everything Solomon had been through, knowing had it not been for God, he would be dead. Knowing all of this, the riches didn't matter. Long life is worthless without the ability to live this life pleasing to God. He said, you read it later. He said, I know you were merciful to my daddy. I get it. I know it was you that put me as king. I get it. I know I'm immature, I am young, and I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, how many of us can say the same thing tonight? Hallelujah, glory. I ain't there yet. I ain't there yet. We still toting a cross. We got to choose every day to pick it up. I've not been told to lay my crowns at his feet yet. I ain't there yet. I ain't there yet. That means I don't know. I got to have you, God. I got to have your discernment. I got to have wisdom. I don't know who's good. I don't know in the flesh who's an Abiathar and who's a Zadok and who's a Joab and who are all these people. I don't know, God. You got to give me discernment. You got to give me wisdom so I'll know, God. I don't blame him. I would have wanted to know the same thing. God is so pleased. He said, you can tell you what, I'm going to give you what you asked for, but I'm going to give you everything else you didn't ask for too. That's just the goodness of God. When you seek him first, then everything else is given to you. That's the goodness of God. It's what he does. It's who he is. But guess what? I can't make the decision for you. I cannot make the decision for my children. Cohen's entered into the world of high school sports. He's already frowning that I'm talking about him. He's been introduced to Jeff Lee and Poe White. And I'm very excited about that. I praise God for his growth and everything that he's doing. But he had a choice to make last week. Do I go to youth camp or go to ball practice? I can't make the decision for you, son. You're 14 years old. You got to choose. His daddy said, Cohen, we can't make the decision for you, son. We appreciate all your sacrifices for sports, but you know where Jesus is in your life. Pray about it, journal about it, let us know. Oh, this mama wanted to tell him what to do. But as long as this mama's making decisions for him, he will never rise up to make his own. As long as he's serving the God of mama, the God will never become the God of Cohen. So he was with his brother, and I didn't say anything. I let them do what they got to do. You know how that rolls. And about a couple nights ago, I said, son, I need to know. People are ordering shirts. Things are happening. I need to know. He said, well, Mama, I talked to Cole about it. I've prayed about it. I've talked to some other people about it. He said, I've decided that if I put God first, he's going to bless me with his favor with the coaches. So I'm going to youth camp. And I praise God for that. But he had to make that decision on his own. I would have supported him 100% had he chosen to go to football and basketball instead, because God would have used him on them courts. Trust me, I believe that much in my God. But he had to make the choice. See, Solomon got to the place where he had to make a choice. And it couldn't be just because my mama said, and my daddy said, and my brothers said, it had to be because I know whom I serve. My real life experience has brought me here. See, he looked at Absalom. He looked at all of his brothers who had committed unthinkable sin and had died already. He looked at the grace of God on his mama and daddy. He looked at everything in his life and he said, that God has got to be my God. I need wisdom. I need discernment. So do we. The first place Solomon went, I know I'm trying to hurry. I hadn't even got to the message. First place Solomon went was to the temple. He went back to Jerusalem, okay? He went back to worship God. He did two things when he was there. He offered a burnt offering and a peace offering. They were both voluntary, by the way. That means he chose to go make an offering to God. That burnt offering signifies complete surrender, devotion, and commitment to God. Peace offering symbolizes fellowship with God, thankfulness for a specific blessing. We're called to be a living sacrifice unto God. We're called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, right? He didn't have to question. He knew exactly where he needed to go once God came to him face to face. Do we? You better believe Solomon got it. He knew without a doubt who had ordained him king. He understood there's a world of Joabs all around me. There's Shimeis on every corner. Man, Shimei was a mess. He was double-minded. He was a hypocrite of all hypocrites. One day, God's going to let me preach on Shimei. I can't wait. He kicked dirt at David, and the next thing you know, when David was crowned king, he was begging him to forgive him. You know what I'm saying? Just double-minded, up and down like the waves. Oh, they're everywhere. Abiathar's by the dozen. They look the part. They got a title, but they of the flesh. They're everywhere. Solomon realized that. Oh, but there's a few Benanias and Zadoks still left. God still has a remnant. And that remnant shall not be shaken. Amen. But let me tell you, it comes to a place, we get to the meat of this, comes to a place where what you preach has to be walked out. Amen. Where the promises over your life have to be fulfilled. And that's what happened next to Solomon. The very first thing. The word of God, I read it to you in verse 28. And all of Israel heard of the wisdom of Solomon based on what he did right here. Oh, this speaks volumes to me. This is a walk by faith and not of sight. We absolutely must not go by what something looks like on the outside. We have got to have discernment. Looks are deceiving, but God's truth is revealing. Here we see in the Word of God, I'm not going to read it, we don't have time, but it talks about the fact that two women came to King Solomon, and they told him point blank. We're going to read it. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 16, because I'm going to teach it, and you need to understand it before I teach it. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots. Now that word harlot means innkeepers, unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me whilst thine handmaid slept and laid it on her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son. And the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. They come on, they did all of this stuff. I'm going to get to the rest in a minute. I want you to understand something. These two women, I believe, are the epitome of the two types of people in the church today. Two women fighting over one baby, the seed of the woman. So here you see, you will always know at the end of this story. Let me finish reading it so I don't confuse anybody. So Solomon took out a sword. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. And he said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. You will always know the ones willing to kill the baby, kill the fruit of the house, because they focus only on what is dead. One woman, the first woman, gave her story. All she talked about was her dead child. That child was dead. This child died. All she focused on was the negativity. You want to know somebody that's bound by the flesh, under the law? All they do is find fault with somebody else. They're negative. They're focused on the dead instead of the living. They're focused on what is wrong instead of what is good. Every sentence she led off with was, yours is dead. That baby died. All she focused on was the negative, on death. Whereas that other woman, honey, she didn't have to say but one thing. Nay, my son is the living child. See, when you're bound by flesh, when you're bound by the law, the first woman is quick to say, I had my child first. That first woman, who I'm going to keep on explaining to you why she's a reflection of the law, reflection of the flesh. She began to boast and to brag. I had my child first. I'm the first one who produced fruit. I. When you get around somebody and that's all they talk about is what they've done, what they've produced, how much they've worked for God, how much I was the first one that did it. I was the first one that had that thought. I was the first one who suggested that. I was the first one. I've been in this church 27 years. I'm the first one that ever came. Honey, you ain't done nothing but produce fruit that is now dead, and you're trying to cover it up. That's what this woman was doing. That's all she was doing. She was trying to cover it up. I had it first. I produced the first evidence of fruit in this house. The flesh always magnifies the flesh. I'm going to say it again. The flesh always magnifies the flesh. They're easy to spot when you know what you're looking for. God resists the proud, but he gives humble grace. Someone who has to boast of their own abilities and talents while pointing out the failures of others reveals one thing: their fruit is dead. This is how Solomon knew she was the fake one. She was boasting. She was bragging. She was bringing concentration to that which was dead. And guess what it reflected? It reflected that her seed was dead. Who's the seed of the woman? Jesus. You want to kill the baby? You want to kill the seed of the woman? You want to kill Jesus in somebody around you? Become this woman. Complain all the time. Mom and daddy get in the car when you drive home after church, and all you do is complain. All you do is find fault. And you think that little boy sitting in the back seat ain't even listening to you. And you know what you're doing? You're killing the baby. You're killing Jesus in that baby. Husband and wife, you think that when you close that door in your house and ain't nobody listening and nobody's watching, whether you want to accept it or not, I've got one role as a wife, my husband and I. I'm not talking about the order. I'm talking about my purpose is to be his helpmate. What am I helping him do? Get to heaven. What is he helping me do? Get to heaven. If my murmuring and grumbling and complaining and finding fault all the time, you know what I'm doing? Killing the baby. I'm killing the seed. I'm killing Jesus in him. It's what he's doing to me. If every day he comes home and all he's doing is grumbling and complaining and finding fault and doing all these things. Not sure where the shout went, but that's reality. So the first woman explained to the king what the other one did. Assumption rules the darkness. You need to know that. If you spend all your time assuming what somebody else is thinking, you are in bondage. Because we have no idea what somebody else is thinking. That assumptions lead more people into offense than any other thing. Stacy don't even like me. She don't even remember my name. Guess what? I don't remember nobody's name. Get over it. I love you, but it don't mean I don't. It's okay. Tammy knows it. She works with me every day. She'll give you a double amen. It's just, I don't know your name, but I love you. I remember you vividly, but don't get offended by it. Assumptions. But the reality came behind this. This woman said, that woman got up at midnight. And she came and took my baby from me. And my baby was cradled in my arms. Now, you know as well as I do, that woman did that. She's just saying the other woman did it, right? I mean, that should be obvious, right? In the middle of darkness is when she got up. That's when the flesh works. That's when the flesh manipulates and schemes and plots and comes up with these plans. But what was the real, genuine woman doing that had the true living seed alive? What was she doing? The Word of God says she was resting with the living seed cradled in her arms. Do you know that when you're in Christ and you're in the Spirit, you're going to sleep through every hour of darkness without fear, without worry, without second thought? She probably knew that that was a conniving, hypocrite, whatever woman she was living in that house with. But she was able to sleep peacefully. Why? Because her baby was alive. Her seed of the woman, Jesus, was alive and well. She didn't fear the darkness. She didn't fear the schemes of the enemy taking place in the middle of the night. There was one woman up in the darkness plotting how to steal the other woman's seed. Just because people say they're your friend don't mean they're your friend. Just because somebody looks the part don't mean they're Zadok. Just because they put on a show and maybe even live in the same house as you do don't mean they are of the genuine. They might have had a living fruit. They might have had seed. They might have had Jesus a long time ago. But now they're slithering around in the darkness trying to figure out how to take yours. Because that's what she did. See, she didn't hesitate to kill the baby. When Solomon said he took out the sword, see, that sword reveals your identity. The sword is the sword of the word. And when you begin to line your life up with the sword of the word, your true identity will be revealed every single time. That first woman said, because it's under the law, let me get back to this. The law said if you had a piece of cloth and two people were fighting over it, that you would take a sword and you would cut it in half. And half would get one and half would get the other. That's what the law said. So Solomon took the baby and he said, bring me a sword. That woman in the flesh, I read it to you a while ago, she said, kill it. Divide it in two. That's what the law says, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. She was the epitome of somebody under the law, under self-righteous religion. If I can't have it, nobody else can. See, she had a choice. She could have went back to the house and she could have had intimacy and produced the seed, but she didn't want to go back and have intimacy. See, in order for you to produce life in Christ, you got to have intimacy. You got to have a one-on-one intimate encounter with this man named Jesus for his seed to be produced in your life. And if something by chance has taken place and you have walked away and let that seed die, you've let it backslide, you've let it go astray, you've killed the baby, guess what? You can have intimacy again. You don't have to go around bitter and angry and trying to kill everybody else's Jesus because you let yours die. It's reality. But the genuine, the real, the true that had the living son, she said, nay, but let the child live. She said, I'll do whatever it takes to let that baby live. I'll humble myself. I'll give it away. I'll be without it if I gotta be. Dana, you preached my message earlier. She come up here and she said, pray for my Seth. He's preaching in Hosford. Mama Bear's here in ministry on this platform doing what she's called to do while Baby Bear's in Hosford preaching. Don't you know her heart wants to be in Hosford? I can hear her now. Seth, I love you, but I love God more. I love you, but I love God more. I can imagine how hard it was for her, but she set the standard. That woman said, I love that baby, but I love it having life more than I love me having control. I love that baby having life more than I love me having control. The seed of that woman is Jesus. How many of us try to control Jesus? That's my Jesus. You can't have him. The Word of God says that we are to what? hold each other above ourselves. We're to humble. You want to know somebody that's genuine? They'll always put somebody else first. You want to know somebody that's the real deal, that has given life to the real seed, and that seed of Christ is alive and well in their life? They'll do whatever it takes to keep Jesus alive. We're building a new church. Well, I think we should have green carpet. Well, I think we should have, I don't know, orange carpet with blue walls, because I'm a Gator fan. And hey, if it's going to cost you Jesus, go Gators. If it's going to cost you Jesus, Roll Tide. If it's going to cost you Jesus, I don't know. If it's going to cost you Jesus, somebody's got to be willing to let the baby live. That means all of these foolish fighting gestures that we wrap ourselves up in, if we were truly, intentionally, specifically having the knowledge that it's about letting the baby live, would we really be having those conversations? Would we really be fighting over the color of the wall? Or who gets to teach that class? Or who gets to sing that song? Or who gets to be in that corner? My husband came to my corner tonight. You know what? I praise God for it. He can have my corner, because this altar don't belong to me. Let the baby live. In order to let the baby live, it means that I gotta let the baby go. I thank God for my Jesus in my life. But it ain't about me. It's about Him and Him crucified. And that means wherever He has called me to go, my job is to say, yes, sir. In closing tonight, I don't know who's ministering up here, but please come. The real, genuine, authentic one who had been intimate in the house, who had rested securely all through the darkest of nights. She knew two things. My baby's alive. Come on, buddy.
I just felt like I should come up here.
Okay. Well, let go right there. Let me pray for you in just a minute, I promise. She knew two things. She knew my baby is alive. And she knew the second thing. If it takes me humbling myself to let Him live, I will humble myself. I'm asking you a serious question tonight as they begin to sing and worship and I begin to pray. Do you understand and do you realize that this is so much bigger than you? I can argue and I can plead my case as to why I'm right and end up killing the baby and end up killing Jesus. I can move around in the darkness and manipulate those resting in Christ and end up killing Jesus. It was just as clear to Solomon. It is clear right now. Will you do whatever it takes to let Jesus live? It was so clear, and it's so clear tonight. The wisdom of Solomon was just a foreshadowing of the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. There's no way to deal with the darkness of the Joabs and the Adonijahs and the works of the flesh without the blood of Jesus. If you don't have the blood of Jesus, honey, you are open game to the enemy. I can't imagine taking another breath without being covered in the blood. Because let me tell you, the enemy is just as real as the genuine. And without the blood, there is no hope. But through the blood, no enemy can cross the bloodline. If you seek discernment tonight, I'm asking you to come. If you seek the wisdom that was granted to Solomon, I'm asking you to come. If you admit to yourself, you know what, I've killed the baby. I've done it. Repentance can come. If you're Bathsheba and David and you say, you know what? I've committed adultery. I've lied. I've murdered. Come. Through repentance, guess what? Solomon can be on the way. There is no reason tonight for you not to allow the baby to live. Hallelujah, glory. If you say, you know what, Stacy? I want control. I give up control. There's hope for you tonight. There's Jesus. The baby desires to live tonight. Christ Jesus desires to live tonight in you. Will you let the baby live tonight? If you say, I just want wisdom, come. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as they begin to play and worship, God, you see the hunger, God. Reveal, God, reveal the dead and bring life to the real. I plead the blood over this service right now, God.